While you're turning there, there's a little boy, and I know some of you probably may have heard this before, but the little boy was talking to his daddy, and he said, Daddy, guess what I learned in Sunday school? And he said, I don't know, son. What'd you learn? He said that God made everything, and he only made it with one hand. He said, what do you mean? He only made it with one hand. He said, well, Jesus is sitting on his right hand. Amen. Children are a blessing. They don't always see things the way we see things. But and I tell you something. As a Sunday school teacher, one of the things that you always want to do, and my first Sunday school class I taught with Sharon, I was teaching third grade Sunday school, and the one thing, and this is the way I've always tried to teach, you don't use big words. Okay, don't use the big words. If you use big words, all you're trying to do is make yourself look bigger and smarter. The most important thing is to get the message across. The message is the main thing. Amen. And so I learned at that time, even when I was teaching Bible college students, that I was going to keep it simple. And because I'm not pointing people to me. It's all about Jesus. There's no good in me but Jesus. Amen. And so that's what we do. But here in Revelation chapter 1, there's some blessings here. And there are a lot of people that get scared when they read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not meant to scare you, but to prepare you. Okay? Prepare you for things that are going to happen. Prepare you for the things that are going on in our world even today. There are things that are being fulfilled in the book of Revelation that, for instance, I'm not going to go there, but Revelation chapter 13 talks about the time coming when the Antichrist is actually going to force people to buy, to receive the mark, or they're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast in their right hand, not on their right hand. Now, the bad Bibles will tell you it's a tattoo. But they already have microchips that slip under your skin that'll have all your health information, all your financial information. It's a GPS tracking device. They're going to be able to find you wherever you are. And they've already got that. And in fact, I saw a while back that a company in Wisconsin required all of their employees to receive the microchip. And that's how they scan to get in the building. Well, I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast, but that's a forerunner. That's a precursor to the mark of the beast. It's what's going to happen. And I want you to get this, and this is not the message, but John wrote about 1900 years ago about a time coming when no man would be able to buy or sell without the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, how would John know 1900 years ago about technology that we would have today that could actually control the population from buying or selling? There's no way that John could foresee that. He wrote what God told him to write. That's why I do not want people messing with my Bible. My King James Bible is just the way it's supposed to be. It's God's perfect words, and I don't want anybody messing with it. And there's not going to be any preaching out of in this church except from out of the King James Bible. So having said that, I want you to, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses here. And I want to talk about being blessed. How many of you like blessings? How many of you like curses? How many of you don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, anyway. Starting with verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to read this verse 7. This is interesting too. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Look at verse 8, and it says, "And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this passage. There's so much in here to help us and to teach us and to show us where the blessings are. Lord, I just come before you asking you to move in a special way. And Lord, we're so blessed to have such a book. A book that teaches us what you want us to know. It teaches us how to get the blessings. It teaches us how to stay away from the curses. It teaches us how to get to heaven. It teaches us about that awful place called hell that Jesus died to keep us from going. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Use this message to glorify Jesus and teach us more about him, and keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things that I see here, and you need to understand, there are a lot of people that there are some Bibles that this is not called the book of Revelation, but it's called the Apocalypse. Now, I want you to understand that they're describing the same book of the Bible, but the word revelation means to reveal. The word apocalypse means to hide or conceal. Now, I believe that if you're going to conceal the book, why put it in the Bible? Okay? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's telling John what to write. He's also writing to seven churches. Churches like Laodicea, churches like Ephesus and Philadelphia and Sardis, and seven different churches, but not one of them is in Rome. Why? There's a good reason. Jesus was focusing on his churches. Anyway, but he says here, and he gives this revelation to John because he wants us to know. He gave it, it was given to John. It came from the Lord, came from God the Father, gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to John. John wrote it down and gave it to the churches, and we have it today. Amen. Why? Because it's for us too. It's for you and for me. And there are blessings wrapped up in this book that you and I cannot get if we don't read it. I use this quite often. Deuteronomy 11 It says, I set before thee a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and a curse if you will not obey. How can you obey commandments unless you read them?
Amen.
So look at verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth. You know, one of the things that I want in this church is I want everybody here to have the same Bible. Now, some of you may have another version of the Bible. I encourage the King James Bible. That way you'll be able to read along with me and study and understand that what I'm saying, and you'll see it the way I see it and the way I teach it. But guess what? You need to study for yourself. Now, going to church is a great thing, and we'll get to that in a minute, but you need personal time with the Lord. You need personal time in the Bible. You need personal time in prayer, and that's what we need to do. And we need to make sure that we don't miss out. It's saying, what does it say? It says, blessed is he that readeth. There's a blessing when you read it. You know, I hear people all the time, and one of the things that gets me is I hear people criticize the Bible. And I hear quite a bit on the bus. Oh, that Bible's no good. Hey, have you read it? No. You're criticizing something that you've never read. You're taking somebody's word for it, and you're going to split hell wide open because you did not take time to read it for yourself. Sometimes I'm that plain with them. I tell people right up front, make sure you're right, because eternity's a long time to be wrong. Told a lady barber that yesterday. Great opportunity to witness. It was just, she was about to close, had the door locked, and I drove up. She unlocked, had one more customer. It's just me and her in the barber, and I'm in the barber chair, and I've got a captive audience because she wanted to get paid. And guess what? Got a chance to talk to her. Found out she was trained by a cult as a little girl, and so I gave her some. Gave her a Bible, gave her a New Testament, gave her some tracts, shared with her the gospel. Why? And I told her right up front, I want to see you in heaven. But I want you to understand, how did I find out about heaven? Because I read it in the book. How do you find out how to get to heaven? Read it in the book. How do you find out about what happens if you don't get saved? You can read it in the book. Luke chapter 16 is a real good place to find out what happens to somebody that doesn't get saved. That was where the rich man was. He died, and the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Why? Because he didn't get saved. Lazarus, he was in Abraham's bosom, in that safe place, that holding place until Jesus rose from the dead. Now he's in heaven. But look at what it says. It says, not only blessed is he that readeth, but they that hear the words of this prophecy. You know, you're going to get a blessing this morning.
Amen.
Because you're hearing the word of God. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about preaching. It's talking about teaching. It's talking about good Bible, solid Bible teaching. Now, there are some places that are going to teach you wrong. That's why you need your own Bible. That's why you need to make sure. See, I'm accountable to you. And you're accountable to me. We're accountable to each other. That's why I want you to have a Bible so that you make sure that I'm teaching it right. And I want to have a Bible in your hands because there are certain things that I expect from people that come to church. There's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. There are right ways to make decisions. There are wrong ways to make decisions. And you're going to find it all in the book. You say, well, I've got some decisions to make and I can't do it. Hold on. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll show you a verse that'll cover everything. every decision you make. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This has been a verse I've tried to live by all my life since I've got saved. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
That's right.
That'll cover everything, right? That'll cover any decision you need to make, right? Don't make it according to the flesh. We got into that this morning in Sunday school. Don't make it according to the flesh. Whatever decisions you make, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You'll never regret it when you do it that way. Never regret it. Let's go back to Revelation. So blessed is he that readeth, and blessed is he that heareth the words of this prophecy. And look at the next step. It says, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Hold your place there. Go to James. I know you're going to know where I'm going, but that's all right. I want you to see it. Remember, we're accountable to each other. I want you to see it. James chapter 1, verse 22. Some of you can probably quote it. But it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And then a lot of times we stop there. But there's not a period there. Look at that last phrase. It says, deceiving your own selves. If you know what's right and you hear what's right, you hear the Bible, you've been taught the Bible, and you don't do the Bible, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're deceiving yourself if you think you can get away with it. We have to make sure that we make decisions based on it. And why does it start with reading? You got to read it to make sure that it's God's word. Then sometimes, and that's what church is for and preaching is for, is to explain how it applies to life. How to put it into practice. That's what the Bible is for, is to teach us how to put it into practice. And then when you learn how to put it, you hear it, you read it, you hear it, and then you put it into practice. There's a threefold blessing there. Blessed when you read it, blessed when you hear it, blessed when you keep it, when you do it, when you live by it. There are a lot of people in this world, I know a lot of them, I see a lot of them on the bus, and one of the things that they do, they get upset. I had a guy this week talking about, he was upset, he hates policemen. Then I found, and he probably, I don't think he's more than 18 years old, but then it turns out I found out that he had been arrested 6 times. That's a no-brainer there. And they don't get an advocate with me. I tell them right up front, I say, well, I've always learned that if you break the rules, you're going to pay the price. But let's look on. I want to show you something else. Look at chapter 1, verse 4 in Revelation. It says, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. And look at what it says in verse 5. And it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And I love this last line here. It says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. One of the things that bothers me you guys might get tired of hearing it, but I wanted to drill it in. A lot of people think that when they got baptized, the baptism washed away their sins. I'm going to tell you, your baptism will not help you go to heaven. We're going to have a baptism today. And if the young lady isn't saved going in the water, she's not saved coming out. You've got to be saved before you go in. How does that work, preacher? Well, it says right here, unto him that loved us. How do you know Jesus loved you? Just look at the cross. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. He would have done that just for any one of us. It says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to churches. These churches are people that are saved. If you're not saved, we'll fix that today if you'll let us. We'll show you how to be saved and know for sure that you're going to heaven. That's what church is all about. If you go to a church that's not teaching you how to be saved, I'm gonna say it anyway. It's not a real church according to Jesus.
Right.
That's what the churches are for.
That's right.
Oh yeah, I know some of them do good. They feed the homeless and they clothe people and help people with physical needs of other sorts and things like that. But the church is here to help people get to heaven, to show them how to get saved. And that's what this verse says. It says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I did not get saved when I got baptized. I got saved on my knees, crying on the Lord Jesus to forgive me and save me. That's how you get saved. You got to call on him. Look at verse 6. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Boy, isn't that a strange statement? God and his Father. Now, you've got a problem there unless you realize that Jesus is God. Who's God and his Father? It's got to be Jesus and God the Father. Okay? There are Mormons that believe that that's talking about God the Father, and he has a father. You want to talk about some messed up theology? Hey, I want you to understand, the Bible is God's word, and it will not deceive us, but don't try to figure out everything about God. There are certain things you have to take by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
You can't earn your way to heaven. Your baptism, your church membership, your good works, none of that's going to get you or even help you get to heaven.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's why we have to come to Jesus. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that about being washed in it, washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so whose blood? Jesus' blood. And then carry the statement on, and it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look at verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. Hold your place there and go to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't believe these are clouds like you and I think, the puffy clouds in the sky. I don't believe Jesus took off in puffy clouds when he ascended up into heaven. Look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I can't stop there. I love this next phrase. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what kind of cloud is it? I believe it's a cloud of witnesses. Go back to Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. When Jesus comes back, how's he coming back? He's going to be coming back with a cloud of witnesses. Those that have died and were saved, their body's still in the ground. Okay? But their soul's in heaven. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Sharon's mama passed away about 3 years ago. And just a sainted lady. She really, really makes it hard for me to tell any mother-in-law jokes, because I had a great mother-in-law. But the truth is, when she died, her body went in the ground. But when, as soon as she took her last breath here, she's breathing heavenly air.
Amen.
Her soul goes to heaven.
That's right.
And when Jesus comes back at the rapture, he's going to come back, and all those souls of the saved people that have died and were saved, they're going to come back with him. Now think about that. Over the last, 6,000 years, because there's going to be people like Noah and Abraham and David and Joseph. There's going to be a lot of people that we can't imagine. But they're all going to come back with him. Their soul's going to come back, but it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their bodies are going to leave the ground. They're going to be changed. The Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Everybody that's dead in the graves, their bodies are going to be changed and join their soul in the air when Jesus comes back at the rapture. Okay? Jesus comes back at the rapture. That is not the second coming of Christ, because he does not come to the earth. He does not set foot on planet earth. We're going to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, according to 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians 4. But what we see here is the fact that he's coming back. But look at what it says. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those that are dead. I don't know how that works, but that's what the Bible says, so I believe it. Look at what it says. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Think about it. The people, the soldiers that crucified, that drove the nails in his hands and in his feet, the soldier that drove the spear in his side, they're going to see him come back. Somehow God's going to have, I don't know whether there's a big video screen in hell or not, but somehow or other that God's going to make sure that they see it and see him come back. I want to cover a couple of things right quick. Look at verse 8. And it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last, or beginning and the ending, saith he, and saith the Lord, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now hold your place there, or go over to verse 11. It says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go to, if you want to follow with me, go to Isaiah chapter 44. And I'm saying this for a reason. I want you to see something. This lesson is something that actually I sent it to a Jehovah's Witness. I've still got her email, much to her chagrin, I'm sure. But look at verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 44. And it says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Okay. The first and the last is who? It's God. Now go back to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 11, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So who is it? That's God. Okay, go to verse 17. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Who's that? God. Stay with me. And it says, and I am he that liveth and was dead. When did God die? On the cross. Hey, you got a problem with your Bible if you don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right.
And guess what? He is. You say, I don't understand it. Neither do I. If you understand it, you'd have to be God. There's so many things about him that we can't grasp. We have a finite mind. But the only thing we need to worry about is reading the book and hearing the book and keeping the book. And we'll keep ourselves from a whole lot of trouble. But the most important thing for any of us is, have you been washed? Have your sins been washed by his own blood? If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's where everybody's going to go that doesn't get their name in God's book, that has not been washed by his blood. Not baptism, washed by his blood. How does that work, preacher? You come to Jesus. Just as honest as you can be. And you say, I'm a sinner. And you know what he'll tell you? He said, I can fix that. I can take care of all your sins. That's what he says right here in verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what we all need. Can't go to heaven without it. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation song. The most important thing for you is to get it settled with Jesus. Make sure that your sins are washed by his blood. Most everybody here probably has, I believe, have been saved, but there may be a few that don't know for sure. Don't let anything stop you from getting it settled today. This may well be the only chance you have, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Becky will remember. We had a young man in a youth group. The youth pastor was preaching on Wednesday night. He said, we don't know. There may be somebody here that doesn't even wake up in the morning. Josh didn't. Or was it Jason? Jason didn't wake up. A 16-year-old boy didn't wake up that next morning. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Don't put it off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, we ask you to do something special in the invitation. Now, thank you for this blessed book that we can teach, we can read and hear and keep. And you'll bless us every step of the way. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, let them get that settled today. Lord, we long to see people come to Christ and get their name in God's book so they don't have to worry about that lake of fire, the fire that you died to keep them from going to. Use the invitation. And don't let us leave any decisions unmade that you're prompting us to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.